welcome to a absolutely glorious morning, to say the least. If anybody, I don't know if there are any men out there that don't golf in the state of Georgia, but I will tell you this, if you don't and you come out here and you see this course and this weather and this setting, you're going to be wondering what you're doing with your life if you don't have a set of clubs, because this is Drew Butler sitting along me, a Chamber of Commerce day to say the least.
Yeah, gorgeous Monday morning. We're out here at Horseshoe Bend Country Club in Roswell for the 33rd annual Right from the Heart Golf Classic. I think the high today is about 72 steak. It feels about 60 right now. It is absolutely perfect.
Awesome.
A great day to be out here. And a great weekend to recap right here on the Steakhouse.
Yeah, I mean, I got a lot of reaction. I don't know about you, Drew, from our show on Friday, where it was just so organic and authentic.
And fun.
Yeah, you, me, and Rusty. I mean, people really were paying attention, especially with you two guys on the air with me that day. And, you know, as I said to people, listen, Drew Butler is not putting on Falcon pom-poms. That's not how he grew up. Grew up in Chicago, played in various NFL teams. Obviously, he's a damn good dog, a Georgia guy, but he has no reason to throw bouquets. Rusty, same, but he's a Falcon fan for 50 years.
Right.
And to hear both of them, unrehearsed, come in and say, what are we talking about in terms of holding that draft pick and worrying that we overreached or any. It was really what the three of us thought was the perfect scenario for the Falcons.
I thought it was awesome, and they continued to get great picks and address their needs. Obviously, the big news was Jalen Walker ending up at 15, the Falcons taking him, getting that dynamic, versatile defensive playmaker. Then they trade away some picks, get back into the first round to take edge rusher James Pierce Jr. I like this pick more and more as time goes on. Then they get Xavier Watts out of Notre Dame. Our buddy Wes Durham said this is one of the best defensive playmakers in the entire draft. Billy Bowman out of Oklahoma, a defensive back as well. They cap things off with Jack Nelson, a big offensive lineman from Wisconsin. So I think the Falcons had a great draft. I think those are guys who are going to be able to get on the field early, make a difference, rush the passer. It's exactly what the Falcons needed.
Yeah, so great bolt of energy throughout the city for how that played out. And I can tell you, I'm trying to recap my weekend because I was literally everywhere. I was at the Georgia World Congress Center all day yesterday. My daughter's final dance competition ever, so that was emotional. I was at two soccer games with Bobby, and had a night out in Buckhead where I saw a bunch of folks on Saturday night come from the famous Swan House Ball that was going on to benefit the Atlanta History Center. And invariably, every question was about Shedeur Sanders or the Falcons draft.
Right.
For the first two-thirds of my weekend. What happened with Shedeur Sanders at 144? What's your opinion? And then, of course, how'd you feel about the draft? But then yesterday, when word spreads, was it yesterday morning that starts to spread?
You saw the videos of the prank calls going out to Shedeur Sanders over the weekend, but yesterday is when it was announced that Jax Ulbrich, the son of Atlanta Falcons defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich, was in on the prank calls, and he was the one that sourced the private phone number that Shedeur Sanders had only given out to NFL teams, keeping that phone to make sure that would be the only people who had that number to call him to say, we're going to take you with this draft pick. A big, big moment in his life. Obviously, with how far he slid down into the fifth round, it was becoming a bigger and bigger storyline, and embarrassing for the Atlanta Falcons, no question about it.
Beyond embarrassing for the organization, for the family involved. Disgraceful to do that to any human being, let alone to Shedeur Sanders. If you did it to a fifth rounder that maybe went to a rival, whatever your motive was, right?
Yeah.
It still would have been despicable. But to do it during one of the, if not the most famous the most famous fall from stature in terms of the draft in history. Right?
Without question.
Yeah, I mean, Aaron Rodgers went, first?
I think he was picked 25th or something.
Yeah, I mean, that was a famous one. You had the camera on him. There had been a few others. Shedeur Sanders was the first pick in the draft maybe 8 months ago.
I mean, Mel Kiper had him rated higher than Cam Ward.
Right.
Cam Ward went number one overall. Kiper was losing his mind throughout the draft coverage. You're starting to see big-time sports personalities over the weekend when Shador kept falling, like a Stephen A. Smith say, you know, I'm hearing this is Colin Kaepernick-type collusion among the NFL owners to come together and say, do not take this kid for whatever reason. But it was becoming such a big storyline for all of the obvious reasons.
Yeah.
And then the prank call comes out in which a member of the Atlanta Falcons adjacent family was responsible for the despicable prank call. So if you're a Falcons fan, you know, rinse and repeat. It feels like one step forward, two steps back. We should all be talking about how great the draft class was, how they addressed their needs, how they're going to make a difference in 2025. And yet here we are talking about a 21-year-old son of a coach.
Yeah, and I just, you know, there's a lot of tentacles to the story.
Correct.
I can just tell you this. The NFL draft was a really big story. If you're a basketball fan, there was a spectacular game yesterday between LeBron James and Anthony Edwards and Luka Doncic. There's a big golf tournament was going on in New Orleans.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff. Jeff Albrechts and the Falcons were the lead story on ESPN.com for basically the entire day. And I want you to think about it from your owner, Arthur Blank, a multi-billionaire who has been through the ringer for 7 years.
Correct.
Who lost draft picks over Kirk Cousins opening his mouth about contacting him too early. They lost draft picks down the line earlier about crowd noise. The organization's had to fire people. He has been under the gun for 7 straight years out of the playoffs. You have a pinnacle moment, a seminal moment of trading into the first round to get another pass rusher. And now you are trending on ESPN. The level of embarrassment that, you know, the headline is Falcons. Falcons defensive coordinator's son.
Yes.
Responsible.
Bad headlines.
Dude,
bad headlines. You don't want that. And the way they found out it was Jax Ulbrich was that somebody who was in the room posted a picture of them on the phone with Shador, and they noticed it was Jack Ulbrich in the background. Then, of course, the news cycle starts to spin out of control, and they had to put out a statement.
I don't know what they want us to do when they set us up here, and they're telling us to be quiet.
They are. I apologize.
No, you shouldn't apologize because this is a radio show.
Okay.
So this is actually what we're
I'm
supposed to.
I'm getting scolded right now. I have headphones on. I don't know what's being said outside the headphones.
Well, they're doing the pre-golf tournament, the pre-golf tournament kind of
Understood.
Dedications. So now we literally sound like we're sitting in Augusta National.
Some guy just gave me the Dikembe Mutombo finger wag.
So, again, what I would say is don't set up our radio show to be standing over
yes.
the announcements and then have I haven't had this many people look at me with this much disgust since I'm trying to think of a scenario. Since showing up late to an engagement party, my wife was waiting for 2 hours and maybe it's like 15 women just shaking their finger
yes.
at me.
Yeah.
But we have an entire group here. So, I mean, and again, they're making some kind of dedication.
Did they tell us to sit out here?
This is where they told us to be. Okay, I'm gonna exercise some restraint here, but this is a strange way to do a show to being scolded by. Literally, we have an entire group of people looking at us with disgust that we are carrying on like a couple of buffoons while they're making a dedication to obviously something to do with the Right from the Heart 33rd annual golf tournament. This is what we'll say. Also, can you imagine? And I can say this as a dad of a 13-year-old. There's so many dads listening. This is when you are tested of what is your role as a dad.
Right.
Because, the last thing we're going to do is condone that kind of behavior at all. But how do you come through for your kid, or how do you handle it with your kid? And, of course, it's beyond a teaching moment. That kid's life is spiraling in a manner that, listen, we're dumb at 21
yeah.
and 22. The things we did in college that risked our lives, the stupidity of the lack of just, a common sense. And I can only imagine.
Just not thinking about the repercussions
just
or
don't
what
think
could
of,
happen
or the other person,
down the line. Yes.
Or what, any of it.
Yeah.
And what is the dad's role in that? All right, let's do a quick 9 at 9, and hopefully when we come back, I can carry on my antics. I know. I'm sorry. Braves have a pretty good weekend until yesterday. 8-2 win Friday night. Saturday, they survive a four-home run night from, what was it, Eugenio Suarez?
Correct.
Four home runs. They lose yesterday 6-4, but take two out of three from Arizona.
Yeah, and they got four games coming up in Denver to take on the Colorado Rockies. If they win 3 of 4, they're back to 500 to close out April. So Braves could really kind of right the ship here, and the Rockies are historically bad. So Atlanta, a great opportunity to get back to 500.
A 5-1 homestand followed by a 2-1 road trip so far. That's 7-2. That's how you start to erase that 0-7 start. What do you need to know from the NBA of note? The Lakers and Luka Doncic, you know, the greatest trade made in modern history. They're one loss away from being out in the first round. Our own Anthony Edwards from Georgia goes for 43 in front of his home crowd. They win 116-113. They're up 3-1 in that series.
Yeah, the Knicks beat the Pistons 94-93 with an absolutely unbelievably controversial no-call at the end of the game. The Pistons lose by one. In every sense of the word, they should have had three free throws to end that game to beat the Knicks. Now they're down 3-1. Knicks leading that series 3-1, heading back to
New York. NBA had to release the statement because that's what they do now. They review the film, and they said the referees simply missed the call. Pacers are getting ready to eliminate the Bucks. Damon Lillard's career certainly hanging in the balance. Looks like a torn Achilles.
Looks like a torn Achilles, and if they do get bounced, the Bucks, they're down 3-1 to the Pacers. I think a huge offseason storyline will be what happens with Giannis Antetokounmpo.
And the Celtics up 3-1, no surprise there. Jason Tatum goes off. He is a man on a mission. I think that gives you some of the things you need to know. Listen, we're going to go to break. We're going to hopefully have these guys go out on the golf course. Now they're doing a prayer. This is, I'm sorry, but wow. You talk about an angry mob staring at us. We can say mob in at this course.
Yes.
If we were at Augusta, we'd never be able to broadcast again. We're live at Horseshoe Bend in Roswell, the 33rd annual Right from the Heart Classic. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The tournament has officially ensued, so no more dirty looks. We're able to get things going, and this is Drew Butler and Steak Shapiro. Thrilled to be with you on the home of the Falcons from the Right from the Heart 33rd Annual Golf Classic. And we got a lot to get to over the course of this morning. I'm going to ask you two quick questions.
Okay.
We like to have fun with over-unders in general. I have two over-under questions to ask you. First of all, percentage of people that walk up to coffee tills, just like in there,
okay,
that have, they're drinking decaf versus regular.
Oh, goodness. So, who would do that? Who would do such a thing?
So what do you, but I'm saying, like, because I'm almost like, they don't both deserve the level, like, they
correct.
Have the same size.
Less than 5%.
You'd say 95% are
drinking caffeinated on a Monday morning at a golf tournament.
It's almost like non-alcoholic beer, which is a little more popular these
days.
Yeah,
it's becoming way more popular.
I'm going to say 90%. You don't think that one out of every 10 dudes doesn't want caffeine? I don't know. That's one of my questions. The other over-under I asked you was the level of people getting hammered on a Monday morning versus the tournament we were at Friday, where literally as I pulled up, they had two drink stands at 8:15 that were, you know, shaming you if you didn't indulge immediately.
Yeah, they're like, what's wrong with
what
you?
What percentage less shenanigans are on a Monday morning course?
70% less. I mean, especially with this great setup we have here today and at the 33rd Annual Right from the Heart Golf Classic. I just don't know if this is the time
the
or the place.
But they're always charities.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're going to have a couple of cold beers, maybe a high noon or
but
two.
But my point is, what you think because of the type of charity that, I just think because of the day of the week.
I mean, day of the week is in there as well. There are some tournaments on a Monday where you know what you're getting into.
Listen, the big joke at Northside Hospital, you heard this for years,
no.
The one, they've got a McDonald's in Northside Hospital. So you see these heart surgeons literally, you know, there's nothing else to eat there. It was the only restaurant in Northside Hospital. I was like, everybody in their hospital fatigue.
Yeah, in their scrubs.
Pounding, in their scrubs. pounding quarter pounder with cheeses. That was another question I was going to ask you about. Yes, the level of shenanigans. It's a very beautiful course in a calm, serene setting. How did your member go this weekend?
Yeah, it was great, man. We had a really fun time. We were in the top flight, so we had to fight off a lot of really good golf, and we actually tied for our flight and lost to get into the shootout on a tiebreaker. Which stung. There was a moment there. There was like a 3-minute window where me and my partner, Chris Melhouse, a.k.a. Meatball Melly, who's a 92.9 The Game listener, we had 3 minutes of joy, and we were high-fiving and celebrating. Great playing. Man, that was awesome. And then they recalculated, and they were like, you guys actually tied, and you lost to them head-to-head, so you're out.
Oh, man. And that would have got you to
the shootout, which, to go win the whole thing.
Which was everybody watching
right.
there at the
Wives
end.
Come out, yep. So Chris and same I kind of put our heads down, and we visited the bar at that point.
But the shootout's the
correct.
Same day? Is that
yeah.
Saturday?
That was yesterday afternoon, so
okay.
We played Saturday and Sunday.
Okay.
But we had fun. We had a great time.
Yeah, member. I mean, dude, I was seeing all kinds of stuff. All this is a big member
yeah,
member
big
week,
member,
right?
Member weekend. A couple of member guests out there as well.
All right. I am anxious to talk to folks in general. The Shador Sanders theory, we both, I think, have our thoughts on what happened to Shador and how this will play out. And then I heard everything from, you know, we're making way too much of the, you know, Jack Albrecht and how, you know, it's related to the Falcons and it's not related to them at all, to you got to fire the dad immediately.
I mean, that's a little egregious, right? Clearly the kid is at fault here. Obviously, the dad is having private conversations with his son, in which I'm assuming those are not fun to be a part of.
Is there any element, I'll play devil's advocate, you allowed something that should have complete private access into the hands of one of your kids? You embarrass the organization.
I mean, it's at his own home. Like, I'm just so confused as to where Jeff Ulbrich could fall into you are being, you know, you're not being good with confidential information. I don't think
you've heard that though.
Yeah, I don't think Jeff Ulbrich himself should face any personal repercussions. I mean, if you really want to play devil's advocate, look across the NFL. I mean, Andy Reid's son has been involved in some really, really bad situations, putting other people's lives in danger, and Andy Reid is still the head coach. He doesn't have to face any repercussions in that regard, winning Super Bowls. I just have a hard time thinking
this related,
how the Falcons or Jeff Ulbrich himself could actually have to face any true consequences.
Well,
the embarrassment,
the only argument I'd make why I don't like your comparison is Andy Reid's son's behavior, while heinous and criminal, has no connection to the National Football League other than the name. This is a draft pick in the NFL being messed with, the brand of the NFL having, you know, somebody involved with the league, which is a defensive coordinator's son. And I'm not suggesting that, like some caller said, you got to fire Jeff
Ulbrich.
Yeah,
that's crazy. I mean, that's obviously a crazy opinion
to have. Is finding the Atlanta Falcons, which is, you're hearing that's on the table, is taking away a draft pick. Are those egregious?
I would have to think that there has been some proactive outreach on behalf of the organization, on behalf of the Blank family. You know,
right,
we apologize. What can we do? Can we donate something? Can we make a donation to a cause? I have no idea,
yeah.
But there's got to be something that's being discussed about right now in order to take measures before they're facing consequences.
And how, as a dad, do you react to this? It's easy to, you know, just throw your arms up and say, ah, kids nowadays, you don't discipline them, and I'd whip that boy's butt,
yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But it really is a moment where your son is in the most vulnerable place of his life. Probably, I don't want to say wants to kill himself on a literal sense, but if ever there is emotion like that, as you are absolutely humiliated your dad,
yeah.
Your family,
right.
Repercussions with his new boss, the apology on Friday night, I made a tremendous mistake. Shador, what I did was completely inexcusable, embarrassing, and shameful. I'm sorry I took away your moment. It was selfish and childish. I could never imagine getting ready to celebrate one of the greatest moments of your life, and I made a terrible mistake and messed with that moment. Thank you for accepting my call earlier today. I hope you find it in your heart to forgive me. And he tags Shador Sanders on it, a classy and exactly the way you have to handle it. I'm wondering, as a dad or a fan or just in general, 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. And then a Shedeur Sanders thought. I'll throw this at you. The notion that the National Football League owners colluded to send a message, prove a point that Deion Sanders, you are not bigger than the league and your son isn't either, and we are all going to bypass and humiliate you and that kid throughout the NFL draft. You buy into that at all?
No, I don't. And I found a tweet over the weekend that really shot down that notion. Stephen A. Smith had said on X, April 25th, someone just texted me, and they are absolutely correct. Quote, this is a bad look for the NFL. This feels like Kaepernick-level collusion. All the hard work the NFL league office puts in to eradicate these kinds of perceptions, only to turn around and watch the owners shut out Shedeur Sanders. David Cohn from the podcast Crane and Company sent this out. Okay? Let's keep in mind, Shedeur Sanders drafted in the fifth round, pick 144, to the Cleveland Browns. Quinn Ewers was taken in round 7 to the Miami Dolphins. He was a 5-star recruit, learned under Steve Sarkisian, great career at Texas, 2 college football playoff appearances. Will Howard, he was drafted behind Shedeur, round 6, pick 185, to the Steelers. Reigning national champion, threw for over 4,000 yards, 73% completion percentage a year ago. How about Kyle McCord? He was also selected behind Shedeur Sanders, pick 181 in the 6th round, Philadelphia Eagles. Kyle McCord led the nation in passing a year ago. So what I'm saying is that if you look at what some of these other quarterbacks had accomplished in comparison to Shedeur Sanders, they did more. They were picked after.
It's not about accomplishment. It's about stature. And he was, you said it yourself in our pre-show meeting, Mel Kiper had him as a talent ahead of Cam
Ward.
Right,
but then we talked about Friday, Chris Sims said this is all wrong, meaning he should not have had a first-round draft grade. So Mel Kiper, you know, God bless him, he might have been wrong. Chris Sims said he's a second, third-round talent. Okay. And that's okay.
So he's a second-round talent that dropped to...
Look, I don't have the answer to that, and that is crazy. Now, will there be some huge uncovering of giant collusion
among NFL owners? The kid from Notre Dame.
Riley Leonard. He was picked
sixth round.
To the Indianapolis
Colts. Okay, but they're not Shedeur Sanders in terms of pedigree.
Who would you take? Because this is really what it comes down to. Dylan Gabriel was drafted in the third round, pick 94, to the Browns. Who do you think is a better pro prospect?
Yeah, of course.
Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur
Sanders?
I would think so, too. I totally agree with that.
The upside of Shedeur Sanders is through the roof.
Yeah.
What I believe happened is once he dropped below the second, maybe even mid-third.
The storyline was becoming enormous.
Right.
And nobody wanted that headache.
Listen, these owners are modern-day kings. They look at Deion Sanders trying to talk about where my kid wants to play,
yeah,
and they laugh at that. Like, nobody's bigger than us in the league. I think that the carnival of coverage that comes with a, you know,
yeah,
fourth-round rookie quarterback, they don't like distraction. Why do they hate Hard Knocks? Why does every team try to avoid it? They hate outside forces, influences, gossip. They hate stuff that is not about. And Shedeur Sanders showing up with Deion Sanders, you know, karma and everything else, I think as it went farther along, maybe some of these teams said, we just don't want everything that's going to come with it. Because at this point, he's going to show up as a fifth-round pick, and it's going to be the biggest news story. There'll be 100 reporters.
They won't even be talking
rounder about
the first-round picks they took, which obviously
that's
is that distraction. And I will say that the two teams who Shedeur was most linked to, and obviously the Browns being one of them, they select him in round 5 with pick 144. The other is the New York Giants. The other was the Pittsburgh Steelers. These are teams where the coaches are firmly on the hot seat, meaning if things don't start well next season, if the public is clamoring for Shedeur to get playing time, Brian Daboll, Kevin Stefanski, Mike Tomlin, then the news story would be fire him, play Shedeur, bring in Prime
Mike
as the
Tomlin,
head coach.
Mike Tomlin can
I'm
deal
just
with
saying,
any of that.
Listen, I'm just saying, all of that extracurricular noise, I'm sure the owners are like, do we want that headache of get the coaches out, bring Prime.
If I'm a Steeler fan, I'm okay with Aaron Rodgers because I get DK Metcalf and
George Pickens.
And George Pickens.
Right.
And Shedeur's a fifth rounder. We're paying him nothing. right? Pay him nothing. And why not just say we'll go with Aaron Rodgers and we'll have a year, maybe two of him, maybe 1 year. But the upside on a fifth rounder, a fourth rounder, a third rounder to keep passing.
So then there was a discussion on, like, what happened during the interview process with Shador. Did he say something? Did he turn off these owners? I think we could have a whole other conversation on when is it right just to not say anything at all, or at least just to say what you know these teams want to hear.
404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. I'd love to hear if folks have a thought on the Shador thing, on the Jeff Albrick, on the father moment. How would you handle it as a dad when he got into your workplace and put you in jeopardy in an unprecedented manner? All kinds of stuff to talk about, including why Kirby Smart is king of the world after the NFL draft this weekend. That's coming up. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Oh, we're not. Here we go. So, we're fine for time.
Why? Sweet.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thank you so much. You heard we're live at the Right from the Heart Annual Golf Classic. Horseshoe Bend, Roswell, absolutely most spectacular morning you could ever remember. Wise Guys Pro Wash, by the way, Atlanta's number one rated pressure washing company. They bring us the 9 o'clock hour. My name is Steak. That's Drew Butler. We have a, to say the least, fast 2 hours today. So many topics to get into and really just two fascinating stories, the Shador Sanders story, how, of course, Jeff Albrick and his son Jax Albrick is the story.
And to be clear, Jax Albrick was not the one on the phone talking to Shador Sanders, correct? He was the one that procured the
He was yucking it up pretty good. He obviously gave access to the call. And it's a young man that needed to get humbled, according to a lot of folks. And, you know, he's getting a taste now of how unacceptable that behavior
was. Yes, it's unacceptable. It's inexcusable. But let's not get it twisted with, like, some, like, absolutely horrific thing that he did.
Well, it's not getting behind the wheel blind drunk and putting people at risk, right? It's not robbing a liquor store.
It's not domestic abuse or physical assault. Like, let's put it into perspective a little bit. The kid's 21. He made a very, very bad mistake, and they did a prank call to Shador Sanders, which should not have happened.
Yeah, I mean, I like what Bo said. You know, you want to do a prank if it's good-natured. You know, that's what's the show on TBS
Impractical Jokers. Jerky Boys, as Ed Karshner chimed in on X. I mean, that's all time.
Okay.
Those guys with the prank calls, they would release CDs of them.
This was
over the line.
Mean-spirited.
100%.
There was just an element to it that was just despicable.
But let's just save the, you know, Falcons should lose a draft pick, the organization should get fined. I think that is way, way too much.
Organization should get fined. You know, it's right on the cusp. He's defensive coordinator's kid. You're messing with the NFL draft.
Yeah.
It's a very bad moment for the league.
All right.
It was a bad moment for the league if a stranger did it because you feel bad.
Correct.
To know that it was
Correct.
An inside job. Let's get some calls. Jay in Hapeville, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. How you doing, buddy?
Doing great this morning. Thanks for taking my call, Fake. So I'm going to preface by saying I'm a huge Falcons fan, so I don't want to lose a draft pick, but I work in healthcare. I'm a healthcare executive, and I work remotely. So I understand HIPAA violations. That's basically like a violation. Our organization will get fined if information gets out, and you will get a 1 or 2 week suspension. So I feel like Jeff should probably get a 1 game suspension. The organization should get fined because it makes the NFL look bad. But I'm looking at it from the lens of working in healthcare. If information gets out about a patient, the organization will get fined, and you will get suspended or maybe terminated. But I also will say one last thing before I go.
Yeah, go ahead.
Shador shouldn't accept the apology. Because that's just like if Mike called you all after you interviewed for a job and said you're getting a promotion and somebody did a prank on you all, you wouldn't be happy about it.
Of course. Now, listen, I get the HIPAA comparison. This is a phone number. This is a phone number.
But
we didn't blast out his social and his mom's maiden name and, you know, really dox the kid. You didn't do that. You got the phone number. They made a bad mistake. I am not excusing the action by any stretch of the imagination, Steak. I'm just trying to bring some perspective.
I don't think
losing a draft pick?
Oh, yeah, that's...
That would be insane. That would be insane. Come on.
You have somebody within the NFL who didn't protect the number and caused a very humiliating moment on camera. So, G-Money is here
as well. Keep in mind, though, keep in mind that he also just changed his phone number leading into the draft. So maybe it was like a 24, 48 hours beforehand.
He had a private number.
It was a private number, and he did it specifically for this reason, so that he wasn't going to called or messed with, and then having that happen after you already changed the number.
Listen, those numbers have to be treated as sacred. I mean, like, you know, any famous person or, you know, any NFL pick, let alone one of the most famous, that's the most famous person in college football, you could argue.
Without question.
So, like, of course you're hesitant to ever give people the number, but the notion is those are treated sacred by every single coach. Listen, we have access to all kinds of phone numbers.
Right.
And we are incredibly discreet on if somebody's like, hey, can I get so-and-so's number? It's like, dude, I can't just give you Coach Blank's number or so-and-so's number, Hall of Famers or whatever. Like, you know, and that's on a small scale, let alone coaches walk around with every single kid in the draft and every other coach and every GM. Aisha in Woodstock, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hi, I also work in healthcare, and I'm sorry if you gave out a phone number of any patient. You would still be fined, and you would also still be suspended.
Wow.
And
so you like the analogy. You like the analogy from the last caller.
Yes. Okay. I work remotely from time to time. If anyone in my family actually got in contact with a health record, I could be suspended.
You're
no
the
matter
one who gets
information they looked at. So
very interesting.
I'm
No.
That's good.
To manage his household.
Yeah, man. Okay. No, but I mean, it's,
I mean, look, I get it. And
Drew,
I mean,
She
just taught me on the HIPAA thing. So,
but not only that, manage your household.
Right.
There are repercussions.
100
for you not having it happen. Like, if I'm Arthur Blank, all due respect, I get it's your son. But, like, you didn't manage that number. You didn't.
Yes. You know, that's a fact.
You have caused the NFL incredible embarrassment. You caused the Falcons.
Yes.
I mean, we should be absolutely. I saw some folks in the Falcons organization over the weekend, and they said, I heard you over the weekend. I loved your show with Drew and Rusty on Friday. I want to tell you who I was in front of. And I was like, listen, we were just being honest. Like, I mean, I don't think you could. I don't want to hear about a 2026 draft pick when you're 7 years out of the playoffs, when you got four guys you drafted in the top 10, his contracts are going to be coming through, when you have a formula right now to get the pass rusher that you may want next year. So, yes, you lost your second rounder. You're trying to win now. You're trying to win a division, get to playoff games, get to NFC championship games. And if you think James Pierce Jr. helps you get there, so we were being honest about it. But then the fact that I've got full phone lines, there's not one person on this set of calls that wants to talk about our draft picks, right? There's not one person that wants to talk about Jalen Walker. Not one person wants to talk about James Pierce. They want to talk about Shedeur Sanders, and they want to talk about Jeff Albrecht. And it's not our job to do anything other than say, what is this city talking about? Robert and McDonough, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Thank you, gentlemen, for taking my call. Hopefully you guys had a great weekend. Real quick, won't take up much of your time. Tom Brady once said, don't worry too much about where you get drafted. Just focus on getting drafted. And once you get drafted, you control your own destiny. Now, I think Shedeur is in the best place he could be. People laugh that he's going to the Browns for obvious reasons. But if you look at that quarterback room, it's – ah. So I think that Joe Flacco will be named the starter, but I would not be surprised by the bye week if Shedeur Sanders gets named the starter. So just wanted to get you your guys.
No, listen,
Robert. I'll hang up and listen to you guys.
No, Robert,
taking my call.
Robert, hang on, because I got a question for you. You know, if the Browns locker room is Joe Flacco, Dylan Gabriel, Shedeur Sanders, do you think Shedeur is a better pro prospect than Dylan Gabriel? And if so, why did the Browns take Dylan Gabriel in the third round over Shedeur?
Either Shedeur or Dylan, one of those guys are going to be trade bait. both of those guys are not going to be their start.
Why did they take it? Why do you think they took Dylan Gabriel over Shedeur Sanders?
Browns being Browns, same way they paid Deshaun Watson, the ungot Patrick Mahomes kind of
it's
money.
It's a tremendous opportunity.
Browns.
Yeah, thank you for the call. It's a tremendous opportunity. I'm sorry. Joe Flacco, he'll have a game or two where we all say a 30, what is he, 38?
He's older than that.
He's 40. I mean, it's a joke, dude. You're never going to win a thing with Joe Flacco.
He's 40 years old.
Okay, it's a joke. And look at what happens. He comes in and has a couple of games. The reality is, absolutely, Shedeur Sanders could win that job or win it by midseason. And when you have five quarterbacks, you have nobody that's in a great place. Deshaun Watson, Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, Dylan Gabriel, and Shedeur Sanders. It's a pretty good situation. What did Tom Brady always talk about as well? All you can do is control your 10 reps of practice. Make him the 10 best reps.
Right.
Treat him like a Super Bowl. And if you get 5 reps, and if you're running with third team, just continue to take every moment. Remember, he was third or fourth string in New England, and the big thing for him was making the team, and then he was the backup, and all those things happen with lack of reps. He's not getting the reps, Shedeur Sanders. He is not getting them at that spot. He's going to get very minimal.
And if you don't think Shedeur Sanders is motivated for many reasons other than his fall, other than, you know, his popularity, ending up being a fifth-round pick, stake, in the new collective bargaining agreement, these late-round draft picks, those contracts are pretty much set in stone before you even go in there to negotiate. His total money is going to be right around $4.6 million over 4 years. He'll have no club option in that fourth year. He lost tens of millions of dollars.
And also endorsements and everything
else. Falling to the fifth round.
Who is going to pay him big money as one of the most failed draft moments in history? Like, the juice is out right now. So, you know, his family's very rich. He made a ton of money.
Yeah.
And this is not about money. This is one of the most fascinating sagas that we'll ever see in the NFL.
Yes or no? Will there be some investigation, or will something come out publicly about quote-unquote collusion against Shedeur Sanders?
Because Roger Goodell works for the guys that would be up for collusion.
Yeah.
He's there. You know, Roger. No, you and I had a line that the juice wasn't worth the squeeze. Once it got past a point, they don't like distractions. That's why Arthur Blank is so furious, right?
Absolutely.
Dude, you took the headlines. I'm reading the Falcons' incredible draft, top five in the league. Can't believe what they have coming on.
Addresses their needs, great players, defensive playmakers.
Dude, the level of vitriol for Arthur Blank at some point this weekend that he was feeling, they hate distraction. That's why Shedeur went so late after a point. All right, more calls, 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. I'll give you four other teams that had the draft of drafts, and you may not like hearing one of them. Also, Bill Belichick's story that is simply, I can't even fathom what's going on in Chapel Hill. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Massive morning of conversation, and we are live at a beautiful golf course, Horseshoe Bend in Roswell, right from the heart, 33rd Annual Golf Classic. Stake Shapiro and Drew Butler, things I learned over the weekend. Find out why Mommy had a lot of tears last night, and why anybody that respected Bill Belichick may be crying as well. That's coming up at 10:25 or so. We have full phone lines. The conversation of why Shedeur fell, the absolute embarrassment around Jax Albrecht, son of Jeff Albrecht, the Falcons' defensive coordinator, what should be the repercussions. Some very interesting calls about HIPAA and folks saying if information leaks out, that's on the parents as well. So we'll get to that. But as we were saying before the break, it should be a day that we're celebrating the Atlanta Falcons draft, which gives us a ton of hope going into the offseason. A ton of jerseys, I'm sure, sold for Jalen Walker coming up. Again, I talked to some Falcons folks who said it's not an overwhelming. There's a quick story in Miami. that the Miami Heat, when they signed LeBron James, fired everybody in their ticket office, or just about, because there was no ticket left. Like, literally, there was no job to pitch tickets or season tickets. They were all done, right?
Yeah, easiest job ever would be the corporate suite salesman for the Heat when LeBron got
right.
named.
So, you know, that was the joke, and I think there's a lot of accuracy. They didn't have to market their team anymore. That's not what happened with Jalen Walker, is my point, but obviously a lot of excitement and more season tickets going to be sold. Here he is on with Dukes and Bell, though. We had unique access to him, great stuff, and they asked him the question about the Texas game. Two of them goes up against Kelvin Banks, who's drafted ahead of him. Can you give us some insight into those games?
Yeah, we just had a great game plan for the week, and, you know, we executed well. We knew where Quinn wanted to escape. We knew what the pros were to certain tackles and guards. We knew the cons to those tackles and those guards, and we just used it to our advantage.
Okay, now think about that answer right there. Now imagine Jalen Walker sitting in a hotel room with coaches and front office administrators of the Atlanta Falcons at the combine, and they're asking, they're putting on tape, and they're asking him, why'd you do this? What was the game plan? What were you guys looking at? What were some of the keys? And Jalen's there just prepared, nailing it off.
And
these coaches
humble.
Are like, damn,
and being humble.
This kid has got it. Okay.
Right.
Now juxtapose that with what you think might have happened with Shedeur Sanders in that situation. All you heard was that he turned off coaches, that he didn't give the answers that the front office guys wanted to hear.
Well, almost like he didn't have time for this.
Right. So Jalen Walker, who was a top 10 pre-draft grade, right, is going in there, and he's hungry, and he's professional, and he's saying exactly what he knows those people want to hear, but he's also being authentic and humble. It's a win-win. That's a guy right there who's going to sell jerseys, who's going to be a fan favorite, who will get people inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And like I said on Friday, the best vision I have in my head is an NFC South Division game, fourth quarter. Everybody's on their feet. It's screaming loud.
And
you got James Pierce Jr. and Jalen Walker ready to get after the quarterback.
Jalen Walker is wrapping up some, you know, tailback that they're trying to flip it to on third and four.
Meanwhile, fumble.
James Pierce is coming off the edge, making the quarterback step up and throw it to
That's music to every Falcons fan's ears. We've never had that.
Here he is with Dukes and Bell talking about being ready to lead.
Yes, it's all about respect and the opportunity, you know, getting into the locker room and getting to learn these guys and getting to know these guys. That's how it starts. It's about the relationship. And once you build that relationship, you build trust. And after you build the trust, you build that mutual respect of being that leader.
I will also say, of course, Jalen Walker is going to go into the Falcons locker room, try to earn the respect of the veterans, do what the coaches are telling him to do. As a rookie, you have a lot more responsibilities with player development stuff. You got to be in the facility on Tuesdays, which is your off day. But undoubtedly, the vets and the third, fourth, fifth-year guys who were in the locker room will respect Jalen Walker because the dude's a badass. He won two national championships. He comes from a program that has produced more first-round picks than they have had losses since Kirby Smart's been there.
Listen, Arnold Ebiketie and, you know, who's the kid from Notre Dame we drafted last year? J.D. Bertrand and, you know, insert veteran quote-unquote or Zach Harrison, they're not throwing rookie attitude at this kid. They realize this kid is the real deal the moment he walks in. And I believe he'll be a bigger leader arguably than any of those guys because his pedigree coming in is such, and just listen to him.
Yeah.
Do you want that guy in the middle of your defense wreaking havoc and in your locker room? You better friggin' believe it. All right, full phone lines. John in Fayetteville, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Go ahead, John.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good. Thank you for calling.
Yes. I would like to address the prank call and the caller and the Atlanta Falcons organization. I'm former military, and there's a phrase that says you can delegate responsibility, but you cannot delegate accountability.
Yep.
The person who made the prank call is not a child. He's a grown-ass man. So he's responsible. But the Falcons organization is accountable for that call. It was degrading. It was degrading not only to the NFL, but the entire city of Atlanta and the state of Georgia. And there should be some head spinning behind this. This is my humble opinion. And thank you for listening.
Thank you for the call. I think the more we hear the anger level of folks saying, This is not a throwaway to the dad at all. I would imagine there was a time over the weekend where Jeff Albrecht imagined he could lose his job.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I'll give you an example of something that I did when I was in high school. Again, teenager at that point. Peachtree Ridge High School, go Lions. Okay. Me and my buddies, we thought it'd be funny to play a prank on the cheerleading team. The cheerleading team of which my wife now was a part of. They were highly rated. They were going to state. They were going to be state champions. And we photoshopped the Rosie the Riveter, you know, World War II ad and said, not a sport. Okay. And we pushed those papers all in the girls' locker room. And we pushed those papers where we knew the cheerleaders were going to be. And they got so upset. It was a harmless prank. We, of course, got in trouble.
Yeah.
My dad's like, are you stupid?
Right.
Why would you do that?
Yeah, why would you mess
with us? Well, we thought it was funny.
Right.
Right? That was a time where I was embarrassed. We all got in trouble. Our parents got notified. A harmless prank. Okay? To all those girls, I'm sorry. To Coach Rob Spencer, I'm sorry. You guys were awesome. Looking back on
it. Sport.
Now as yeah, of course it is.
Big time sport.
I have three daughters, right? Like,
right.
Like,
yeah.
Such is life.
Listen,
that was stupid.
I literally looked at my son yesterday, and I tried to think about how I would handle it and you know, how much could I be at him in his most vulnerable state. Listen, there are people that know that these kids, he's a 21-year-old. I would not say that his reputation is coming back as flawless, and I'm just going to say from folks, you know, I'm not talking about a 15-year-old. I'm talking about a 21-year-old
correct.
Now.
Correct.
So, you know, if you were a perfect kid with it, you know, looked at as being the most, you know, generous, sweetest person to everybody, and this was an aberration, that's not what I'm hearing. And if anybody needed a moment of a come to Jesus or call or whatever it is, he's getting it.
Well, was it worth it? Your name will now be synonymous with that while you're trying to get jobs, while you're out in the community, while you're talking with people who undoubtedly know who your dad is.
If this is what you think is funny, in the recovery world, they call it rock bottom, which finally makes you either go to rehab or look at your world and yourself. This is a moment for this kid to say, is this really the way I want to continue to behave? Thinking this is funny, like this is funny to mess with another human being and absolutely humiliate him.
Yes,
going through the worst moment of his life. Okay, he's a, I don't care if he's rich
and it's
and
so
Dion,
public too. Like,
so and by the way, good for him that he didn't even go all the way in.
Shador actually handled it like a grown adult.
That could have been much worse.
I give him a ton of credit. I give Dion a ton of credit because they could be taking this to a whole other level.
Can you imagine what Dion could be saying about the NFL right now in general and about collusion or about how his son was treated, about how somebody, the Atlanta Falcons organization's kid, tried to humiliate our family?
So here's my question to you. How do you come out of the other side of this situation as the kid? How does he make up for what he did?
You know,
obviously, we both agree that his statement yesterday was the right thing to do. He said the right things. My question is, how does he go on a PR tour to save face?
Well, I mean,
who cares? I mean, like,
if it's his dad, it's one thing.
Right.
This kid just needs to look at
he's not necessarily a public figure.
Yeah. Hey, Cameron in Athens, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, Cameron.
Hey, what's up, Stakes? First time caller.
Thank you for calling.
Because it's my the story holds pretty personal to me. I knew him. He used to play basketball with Jax. Main thing that stuck out to me is the second thing he ever told me was that his dad was a coach. So he obviously uses the resources he has, and is almost somewhat cocky about it, in my opinion. I wasn't ever the biggest friend of his, but I do think people are overreacting on what should occur to the Falcons organization and what should occur to Jeff. I don't think it's harmless. It is a little humiliating, but I wouldn't put it past him. And that's
well, what
I'm
do
really
you think? What do you think should happen? What do you think should happen to either the organization or to Jeff Ulbricht, the coach, or to Jax, who was behind this prank?
I think he's already receiving a lot of scrutiny. I'm sure he's getting a lot of comments. I actually looked at his Instagram yesterday on that post he had put up. He's catching a lot of flack. I think he's already received a lot of humiliation. And in terms of Jeff, I mean, it sucks. He left his computer open, but you can't fault the guy who's just trying to do his job.
Yeah, it's a tough.
It's a weird thing, man. It happened because he didn't protect the number. It happened out of his house. Listen, this is a weird spot.
Yes, it is.
You know, and I'm just going to say that caller is echoing some of the sentiments of not shocked that this played itself out with this young man the way it did.
But that's the teaching moment for any parent, because the kid who actually made the call, we're not even talking about him. You're talking about how the kid got the number.
Well, listen.
So where does the responsibility lie? Like that military guy said, you can delegate responsibility. You cannot delegate accountability. That's where you're at.
Well said. When we come back, things I learned over the weekend. I've been watching CBS Sunday Morning for three decades. It's one of the greatest pieces of journalism in all time. I've never seen a more uncomfortable moment in that show in 30 years. Unbelievable. Wait till you hear this coming back with Bill Belichick and all your phone calls, 404-726-0929. Steak Sparrow and Drew Butler on what has really become an impassioned morning on so many different levels. Thank you for being with us on the Steakhouse. Sandy is back tomorrow, back from her ladies. I think she had her ladies trip, right? You see her on social?
Oh, yeah.
What? How many years now?
She's living the good life.
19 years. She is living the good life. She's had a lot of drama this year, too. So, as they say, don't believe everything you see on social media.
Isn't that the truth?
So, the Right from the Heart 33rd Annual Golf Classic at Horseshoe Bend. Why don't I we get a few more calls lined up, and I'll do things I learned prior to that. The conversation, obviously, is the Falcons and what Arthur Blank, absolutely the last thing that he would have to want to deal with. My thoughts throughout the day yesterday was, can you imagine having a boss that you have to be in front of with your kid screwing up that bad? Can you imagine how angry the Falcons must be with Jeff Albrecht? Yes, with him.
Okay? Absolutely.
But for that, you even have a son that's capable of that, and that you didn't protect this proprietary information, and that he's laughing in the background as it's going on.
We haven't even discussed the fact that Deion Sanders, the dad of Shedeur Sanders, is in the Atlanta Falcons Ring of Honor. One of the best players to ever don a Falcons jersey. I asked you in the break, do you think Arthur Blank called Deion Sanders?
I think Arthur Blank
was... Do you think Jeff Ulbrich had to call Deion Sanders?
I think all those things are on the table. Clearly, the kid called Shedeur.
Right.
And had to apologize to him right away. I think Arthur was on the phone with Roger Goodell, I would imagine.
Yes.
To say, how are we going to handle this? We'll release a statement. We're going to work on it. Probably send it to the NFL. NFL had to clear it.
Yes.
Probably Deion. Deion Sanders could make this holy hell for the Falcons in the NFL.
Without question.
I mean, I haven't heard the word collusion. Mel Kiper, I just watched him saying this is an absolute disgrace that this kid would get, you know. He says, number one on my draft board. Now, again, maybe he's a little humiliated by that. But they even like, this is ridiculous. Why, you know, how can this many teams pass on him? What's the message these, you know, billionaire owners are trying to send? It's got so many angles to it. And then, of course, the fallout from Jeff Albrecht and his son, Jax, and folks that know the family as well. And want to be really careful about that. But that there was an entitlement around this kid is what you're hearing. And that he certainly looked like he was yucking it up there to really hurt another kid in that way. Hurt another human being, and it made it. You were so joyful in hurting somebody else. It's a bad look. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. I'm going to give you another really bad look in a second. These are things I learned over the weekend. All right, three quick things before we get to Bill Belichick. First thing I learned is, unlike Drew Butler in high school, the audacity to make fun of, was it the cheerleaders?
Yeah.
The dancers?
One of which I married, the cheerleaders. Yeah, and I'm still sorry.
How do you feel about dancers? Are they athletes?
Absolutely. Well, my sister Savannah was a phenomenal dancer.
My daughter's been dancing 4 hours a day for virtually 7 years, since she was 11 or 12. her final competition ever.
Wow.
Was yesterday.
End of an era.
At the Georgia World Congress Center. Get a little choked up thinking about it right now. I held it together yesterday. Mommy did not.
Yeah.
It was Waterworks Supreme. You know, anybody that coached their kid had their last high school football game. Much
right.
more.
I cried.
Absolutely. Parents realize that's the last time that you're going to be with her on the 5 a.m. wake up. And, you know, we traveled to all these different venues and watched her on stage doing her solo and everything else. So to all the dance parents out there and to you know, our family going through something like that, which was very intense. That's one of the things I learned. Real men have feelings.
Congrats to Nola. We do have feelings. I cried my last high school football game. I cried my last college football game.
Wait till the girls start doing their stuff, dude.
And then I cried when I got cut from the NFL.
Well, you're tuned out, okay. Hey, we also learned that Chili's is turning around. We talked about this in the break. Kudos to that franchise.
Yeah, big time.
When restaurants and dining is in really tough times. They just leaned into, what is it, pricing? And
the triple dipper, social media, sales are up over 70%. Chili's is booming right now.
Yeah, the triple dippers up 70%. Their overall sales, restaurants are down or flat. They're up 15%. Why? They said for $12, you drive through a fast food restaurant, and no offense to Chick-fil-A or, you know, McDonald's or anybody else, right? But you ain't getting out of there for less than $17-18. Their point is, we'll give you free chips and salsa. We'll give you a waitress. We'll give you an experience. And it's killing it for them right now. So kudos. CBS Sunday Morning. That show was going to let Bill Belichick promote his book. That's why he was there. They promote books. But I give credit to Tony DeCulpo, who said, after 4 minutes of talking about his career, said, let's talk about some other things. Like the fact you wrote a book and Bob Kraft, who you won 6 Super Bowls with, is never mentioned.
The ones that I experienced directly. He's not even in the acknowledgement section. Correct? Do you feel like you were treated with dignity and respect when you were let go by Robert Kraft?
Yeah, well, it was a mutual decision for us to part ways.
He said fired.
It was a mutual decision.
And here's the all-timer. And I'm going to tell you this right now. And I was just confirmed by the New York Post. I said this right when I walked in. I've watched that show for 30 years. Donald Trump's in there with handlers. Joe Biden's in there with handlers. Every politician, everybody that's any kind of controversy has people. They've never mentioned that there's somebody off camera causing problems, really, for the most part. Maybe you saw in a Trump interview, they stopped it and restarted. But for the most part, like, you don't hear about people or certainly put them on camera causing a scene, which is what happened when they tried to talk about what Bill Belichick's social media.
How they met, how him and Jordan Hudson met was the question. And she had a little something to say.
How did you guys meet?
Not talking about this.
No?
No.
It's a topic neither one of them is comfortable commenting on.
Tony DeCoppel looks over and goes, no. I mean, she butted in and said, we are not discussing this.
He said, you have these Instagram photos of you on the beach holding her up. You also have pictures of you celebrating, you know, each other. I don't really even know those, like,
I don't really care about what other people think.
This guy, God bless him, said, if you're going to think we're going to just give you your 7-minute piece, puff piece, and not ask you about what everybody's talking about, the conversation now she's involved in why they didn't do the reality show for NFL Films. She's been involved in every coach's email. And she literally got put on camera by CBS as if to say, we've never seen anything like this. She is sitting a few feet away, snapping at different questions.
So Bob Kraft not mentioned the acknowledgement section of the book. As you said, 6 Super Bowls with Bill Belichick. However, Bill Belichick in the book writes, and I quote, thank you to my idea mill and creative muse, Jordan Hudson.
Dude. That you done did lose your mind, as they say in Louisiana. You had done did lose your mind. I mean, what a piece of work.
Unbelievable.
Guy. The fall from grace of reputation is so meteoric that I can't even use adjectives to describe. Let's take calls when we get back. 404-726-0929. 404-726-09. Hey, listen, let's just raise our hand with a Falcon flagship. It was a fabulous draft.
Absolutely.
It was a fabulous draft. I'm excited for opening day with Michael Penix and Drake London and you know, James Pierce coming off the end and you know, Bijan. But, boy, did they have to deal with some stuff yesterday. We'll do that when we come back. Sports Radio 929 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Steak Shapiro and Drew Butler, what a Monday show we're having. I'm going to remind you, by the way, that the tailgate was brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors earlier, and that the 10 o'clock hour is brought to you by our friends at Wise Guy. Wise Guy, you know what they're doing, bro, right? They are pressure washing next level stuff. Atlanta's number one rated pressure washing company. And hook them up. And also our big game of the night, which I guess the Braves got a 4-game set with the Rockies. We should mention the Braves, although Falcons, the NFL is reigning supreme today. Good start to the road trip. 2-1 in Arizona. 8-2 win on Friday night. Chris Sale in the mix. Saturday, they survive Eugene. What is it? Eugenio Suarez.
Yeah, four home runs. Four home runs for him in that
in
game.
One
of like 19 times that's ever happened in Major League Baseball history. But now you get the Colorado Rockies. They've won four games this year. They fired their hitting coach like a week and a half into the season. Yes, four wins. They're 4-23 right now. They're on pace to be the worst team in Major League Baseball history. That's 1 year after we saw what the White Sox did last year. That game tonight on FanDuel Sports Network at 8:40.
6-4 loser yesterday, but yes, indeed, they have they're inching their way back to 500, which is all I said they needed to do. Once they started 0-7, this is the place to do it, and this is exactly what we needed to see as we survive the early season just disasters of Jerkson Profar and Spencer Strider, and eventually Strider will come back and Acuna will be back, and this rotation will get into where it needs to be. So let's get it done against Colorado. A lot of big games coming up and a lot of high-profile teams going to be coming to Truist Park as well. So that's our big game of the night brought to you by John Foy and Associates. We like to have some fun and do three strikes, and but there's so much reaction right now to – you know, if you haven't heard us talking about it, the Falcons defensive coordinator Jeff Albrecht, it is revealed that his son Jax was behind the humiliating moment for Shedeur Sanders, as if it wasn't a tough enough weekend. And the definition of adding insult to injury is what this young man thought would be a funny prank to pull on Shedeur Sanders. The poor, Arthur Blank, who is, you know, I have all the respect in the world for, and I think he is, tremendous for our city. I think, he hires the right people, and the nonsense that other stations have of taking shots at him and attacking him is just, it's offensive to me, knowing him and knowing the family and knowing what the Falcons were prior to Arthur Blank. The guy hired Mike Smith, that was a win. The guy hired Dan Quinn, that was a win. The guy hired Thomas Dimitroff, and yes, that was a win. How do I know that? The entire organization never had a winning season in history and had how many in a row and how many playoff appearances? He hired Raheem Morris, the most respected. He stays out of the way and lets his football guys make decisions. If his football guys make bad decisions, that's on them. He spends whatever money it is. He brought a championship with Atlanta United. He supports this city at every level, most philanthropic guy that there is, and he has to wake up and deal after a Falcons draft with that nonsense, with that nonsense, and have to make calls to Roger Goodell and probably Deion Sanders and everybody else. So what would be the appropriate action taken here? Was Jeff Ulbrich's job on the line? I believe it probably was at a moment, and that cooler heads prevailed. What kind of learning moment does that family have? What do you do as a father? Shedeur Sanders, why did he fall as far as he did? Is it And Drew and I think at one point, I think organization just said there's going to be too much smoke around this pick. But, yeah, no, there. If you weren't willing to take a shot on Shedeur Sanders because you're worried about distractions, your organization would be strong enough to handle whatever came through because you may have passed on a seminal talent for the NFL. Maybe not. Maybe the Johnny Manziel comparisons are okay. Big New York Post article today of Brian Daboll did not like his interview with Shedeur Sanders, that, you know, Shedeur wasn't prepared for it, kind of blew off the notion of what he was being asked. Maybe that's the case, maybe it's not. But, you know, it still was a shocking story from the NFL draft and one of the most shocking stories all time. Michael Penix was the story last year. This year it was Shedeur Sanders. So let's take your phone calls, 404-726-0929. Tommy, you're in Alpharetta. You're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, Bobby in Dallas, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, how's it going, State?
Hey, man, thanks for calling.
Yeah, man, I love your show. I wish it was more than 2 hours, to be honest. But this is how I am with the whole Shedeur thing. I mean, was it immature? Was it wrong? Was it stupid? Yeah, it was, but was it funny? Yeah, it was. I mean, it was funny because if you had done that to Jalen Walker, no, it wouldn't have been funny. But look how he treated the caller. This is supposed to be the GM of the Saints he's talking to, and he says, I've been waiting on you. I mean, that just tells you what his character's like right there. So,
I don't agree with you. I don't think it was funny. Thank you for the call. I think it was mean-spirited. I think it was a young man that is trying to make sense of what was happening to him who, okay, he's a cocky kid from a big, famous family, and you may not fit into your vision of the buttoned-up, you know, manner in which young people should handle things. But, no, I don't think it was funny. I think it was despicable that those two kids think it's okay to mess with someone like that. Richard in College Park, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yes, good morning, fellas. You know, with all due respect to y'all, a grown 21-year-old is not a kid. Shouldn't he be labeled a kid? That's part of the problem called grown man kids. He know that's wrong. Matter of fact, that's an indictment on the coach leaving somebody in the open like that. Suppose some of the guys' friends have gotten a hold to the call styling play. Started calling Fleal off the leg he did. And the last call on what the hell he's talking about. Like, that's not funny. It's called like him who's part of the problem with this society today. Excuse some stuff. That's my point.
Thank you, sir. What about the notion of being a 21-year-old, not a 17, 18, 19-year-old? So keep that in mind as well.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that the age is a big part of this. At 21, you are much more mature than an 18 or a 17-year-old. There's a reason why you're not a teenager when you're at the age of 21, and understanding that the odds of that being publicized, you being a part of it, how the information was sourced, you being 21, yeah, he's a grown man. There's no question about that.
Yeah, and, you know, was he a great kid and a humble kid and a low-key kid? It's not what we're hearing. You know, I think at some point stuff catches up to you. You have to have a level of humility in your life, no matter if your dad's famous, although I'd argue in the history of famous, a defensive coordinator in the NFL is exactly top of the
food, agree.
Yeah, top of the food chain. Kevin Butler's famous. You know, your dad, you know, one of the most famous kickers in Georgia history, guy won a Super Bowl. He's a hero in Chicago. You know what it's like to say you're Kevin Butler's kid. And I think if you acted a certain way, you know, there'd be your dad or somebody else would be like, no chance.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right. Yeah, 100%.
I mean, everybody knew who
your dad was. There's a responsibility. There's a responsibility in being the son of a quote-unquote celebrity. But also, you are very fortunate to have doors open for you and the opportunity to meet a bunch of great people who want to help you out because they know who your father is in that situation. So there's a burden there, but there's a responsibility to uphold the reputation of your family. And in this particular situation, that has fallen gravely short.
Hey, it's David in Charleston, South Carolina, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, Drew. Hey, Steak. Absolutely love the show. Lifelong Falcons fans, had season tickets her life, grew up in Atlanta, live in Charleston, South Carolina now. And I was just thinking exactly what Drew just said. You know, much is given, much is required. And I think when you're part of a family like that, there's a responsibility, you know, to being in an NFL family. And I was thinking, you know, just like as a punishment, you know, for, I was thinking about Jax, the son. I was thinking, you know, like a year long suspension of going to home and away games probably for him. And then if Jeff is fined, you know, as a dad, is a teaching moment to have him repay back that fine. Jack yeah. repay that back fine. But I just think, you know, much is given, much is required.
But by the way, he may be, this talk I heard this morning, could be banned from NFL games, period.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, NFL could say you are banned. NFL has every right to do that.
Yep.
NFL has every right to do that. Thanks for the call.
That's, by the way, that's exactly what should probably happen.
That's something that
you're not allowed in the building. Yeah. And maybe for 10 years, five
can't come
years.
To Flowery Branch, can't go yep. to Mercedes-Benz, can't go to an away game. I mean, many people have been banned from right. NFL games for way less. Way less.
Al in Hiram, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hi, guys. Good morning. I have a little different take on the thing. I believe that Shadur should just take this upon himself, put all the noise behind him, and prove himself on the field. That'd be the best thing he could do. Deion always backed up his talk, so let's just let him.
Al, I think it's fair to say that Shadur has definitely taken the high road in this situation. I mean, that's what Steak and I are discussing at the moment.
Yeah,
Deion could go nuclear and cause an unbelievable PR nightmare for the Falcons. Shadur could have just absolutely snapped in the moment and gone
or
nuts
now
and looked
not
for
accept the apology.
Absolutely. So I think Shadur has most certainly taken the high road, and now this just adds fuel to the fire. He's already under the situation of, I've got to go prove it now. I just got humbled by being a fifth-round pick when Mel Kiper had me as the top-ranked recruit.
Some punk.
And now some kid
some punk out of,
played a very public prank on
yes. him. Yeah, some punk out of Atlanta, some 21-year-old, not a kid, some 21-year-old man effed with me, filmed it, humiliated
it out on social media. But Al, you said it.
What's more,
Al just said it. You know, Shadur's going to take the high road and go prove him wrong. And I think he's on that track already.
He certainly landed in a place where the sky's the limit in terms of Cleveland. And let's not just go.
Stefanski's a great coach.
It's Cleveland. They were in the playoffs 2 years ago, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, like, they are, you know, obviously have the premier defensive player in the league. They're building around that as well.
It's just shocking to me, too, because when you think about an NFL quarterback prospect, I have a hard time believing that Dillon Gabriel is a better NFL prospect under center, commanding an offense, pro style, than Shadur.
And I don't think GMs think that the guys they drafted are better. I think that owners and teams are so paranoid about distraction, and that at some point, I think you said it, the juice, what'd you say?
Not worth the squeeze.
Yeah, that he's going to come in, and I don't think they're worried about Deion and an entourage. I think they're worried about the coverage
right.
of the quarterback competition. They're going to worry about all the reporters. They're going to be like following every second of a third or fourth, saying, listen, we take a guy in the third or fourth round that's going to be a backup that everybody's going to be clamoring for, or that he's going to get more coverage than our starters. What are the frontline guys going to say when Shadur Sanders has 25 guys in front of his locker room? You know, he became the story of the draft like nothing we have ever seen. And then you compound that with him getting pranked by a kid whose dad's in the NFL. I mean, the whole thing, you figure, like, take a deep breath. And this is where character will be measured for Shadur Sanders, who has been humbled like few athletes have ever been humbled. Tom Brady wasn't humbled necessarily. He wasn't projected to be better than a sixth rounder
right.
or so. It wasn't like a humbling. This kid was number one pick in the draft
yes.
maybe 7 months ago.
Tom Brady was an obscure NFL draft prospect,
right?
Who turned out to be the greatest.
And I love how they keep even how they gave Belichick, dude. Belichick made him a sixth rounder. He was a quarterback in Michigan. It's not like Bill Belichick recognized greatness ahead of everybody else. They took a shot at a quarterback in Michigan that had a big Rose Bowl through for 360 yards. I mean, come on. Giving Belichick credit for that. It's a joke. Brandon in Decatur, you get the final word. You're on Sports Radio 92 on the game.
Steak, how you doing, man? How you doing?
Great, man. Thank you for calling.
Hey, man, no problem. Look, I got a totally different take on this whole thing, man. I follow the money, right? So I look at it like this. We had the most viewership for this draft ever, right? So you take the guy who's the most popular and you extend him to the fifth round. Even the second round had more viewership than the first round of last year's draft. So you extend that guy, you extend him, you hold him out, and you get the viewership and the numbers that you want. That's why he's so cool about everything. That's why he was so even cool about the prank call. He know what's going on, man. They're getting paid on the back end. The NFL made their money off of the draft. Hey,
the NFL don't need to make money off, dude. The NFL.
That's a great conspiracy,
yeah,
Brandon.
That's it.
Woo!
Hey, by the way, Jordan Schultz just put this out there. Sources are saying Penn State, pretty big NFL guy, Penn State tight end Tyler Warren was also prank called during the draft.
Wow.
Receiving a call when the Jets were on the clock at 7. I'm told Warren's camp believes it was the same number and area code involved in the Shedeur Sanders call.
Jeff Schultz just posted that?
Not Jeff, Jordan Schultz.
Jordan Schultz.
Who was an NFL writer on X.
Wow.
Just put out they think it was the same. He's a Fox Sports NFL insider with 400,000 followers. This is a top NFL writer saying they think that he may have been behind that as well.
That's not good. That is not good.
As they say in the Yiddish language, oy vey, that's a lot. Anyway, fun show today. Great to see you, Drew.
Yeah, good stuff. Thank you so much. Have a great week.
Gordon, thanks always for your help. G-Money, Bo. Sandy's back tomorrow. I don't think we'll be talking about a lot of different things other than a lot of NFL, a lot of Falcons, and everything else. Thanks for making the Steakhouse part of your day.